Well, I think that if ever there was a word for today, this is it. And I'm referring to the passage that we've just heard in Matthew. If I say the phrases false news and alternative facts, you might guess what I mean. But I'll get onto that a little later. But first, a question. So if you had your Bibles with you, it doesn't matter if not, but on page 747 in the Church Bibles, the first line from our Matthew reading today says this. Later, after they crossed to the other side of the lake, the disciples discovered they had forgotten to bring any bread. So, what is the problem? I'm not just asking myself here, I'm asking you, what's the problem here? There's nothing to eat. They're blaming each other, they're arguing and blaming each other. Yeah, they're all very good, obvious answers, aren't they? Yes, they had no bread, but they have crossed to the other side of the lake, which means they are in Gentile territory. Okay, that's the side where there's the Decapolis, the Greek, 10 Greek cities. And so here lies their dilemma. Even if they had the means to buy some bread, they would not be allowed to eat any bread or even touch any bread that had been baked or even handled by a Gentile. So they can't go and nip off and buy some. And, you know, we often deride the disciples, don't we, for their kind of lack of understanding. You think, well, duh, you know, come on. But, you know, they're just like us sometimes, aren't they? They're just like us. This year, we were hosting a big Hogmanay party at our house with the full haggis supper and the works, all the trimmings. And you know how it is at New Year? People are never quite sure of their plans, you know, beforehand, and it's going to depend on whether their family has gone home by then and all of these kind of things. And so I was saying the usual, you know, well, that's okay. Just, you know, it would be great to see you. Just come if you can. But I ended up with 20 who definitely couldn't come, okay, so that's all right. I had 20 definites. That's fine. But I had 39 maybes. Can you see my problem? How do you decide to cater for that? Now, as it turned out, I solved the problem very creatively by being so ill with the dreaded lurgy that was going round that we had to cancel. So I'm sorry to any of you who were invited whose New Year we ruined, but it couldn't be helped. What I'm saying, though, is that I was not calmly thinking, the Lord will provide. Because, anyway, I'm not entirely sure he's Scottish. You see what I'm saying? You know, we're sitting here in church expecting some teaching, aren't we? You know, we've come, that's what we've come for. But these men were not in the synagogue at the rabbi's feet, you know, waiting for the lesson. They were just out and about with Jesus. They were just out and about with Jesus. But Jesus says two very important things. The first is to remind them, and so he should, quite frankly, about having fed the multitudes before. Because when he did that, it was on those very selfsame shores. It was when they'd crossed over to the other side of the lake. They were on Gentile territory once again. So they'd been here before. He said, don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with 5 loaves and the baskets of leftovers you picked up? Or the 4,000 I fed with 7 loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up? It's pretty amazing, isn't it, that they'd failed to remember that. And yet, you know, I remember a time when my children were really small and we were struggling, and I baked for yet another church do, with the very last of my ingredients, which meant that we would go without cake or biscuits until the next month. And how, by some miraculous way, that week we were given no less than 4 cakes. I was absolutely astonished. People didn't normally come around and give me cakes, but that week, 4 cakes arrived at our house unexpectedly. That was more than we needed. We had leftovers too. And yet, I still fret, as I told you, at New Year. I was fretting. So we all experience some amazing provision, don't we? And yet we seem to repeatedly forget. So we're just like those disciples. So Jesus says, where is your faith? Where is your faith? And the second important thing that Jesus says is, this isn't about bread. This isn't about bread. He said, it is not the Gentile bread they should be worried about, but the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. That's a curious thing to say. But I should say at this point that yeast, or leaven as they would call it, was a kind of a metaphorical expression used by the Jews to mean an evil influence. An evil influence. It had something to do with how the Hebrews had to leave it behind them when they fled from Egypt. But it was a term that also linked yeast or fermentation with putrefaction, with things that were rotten and bad. That's the kind of the double meaning that had. And so he's actually being very damning and very insulting when he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, if you have baked bread, and I'm sure lots of you have, you know what yeast is like. When you mix it with some water, some warm water, and you lace it with a little bit of sugar, and you add some hot air, it bubbles up, doesn't it? And it froths, and it goes all over the place. And once you mix it with the flour, and then you add a bit more hot air to prove it, and then even more hot air to bake it, it permeates the bread. I mean, basically what it does is this. It turns this, which got broken in transit, sorry. It turns that into that. Can we see the difference? That's what yeast does. And if you ferment it long enough, it kind of grows and it grows and it multiplies. I don't know if you remember, it was very popular at one time to have ginger beer plants. Did any of you? Yeah, some of us have had ginger beer plants. We all know about those. I remember hearing, I don't know whether it was true or not, but that people used to say someone had to actually bring in the bomb disposal squad to their garage to deal with the bottles of ginger beer that were in there that were going a little too lively. So I'm not sure that's entirely true, but, you know, it's not far off. But, you know, once yeast is baked in bread, you can no longer taste it, really, can you? You can't entirely taste it, sometimes when it's really fresh, because it's totally infused throughout the dough. And you only have the puffed up loaf and the kind of big holes that you find in it to know that it's been there. Look at that, great big holes inside that. I was very relieved when I'd bought this and opened it and was as I wanted it to demonstrate. I wonder if you can see where I'm going with this. Because isn't that a very good description of deceit? You know, how it permeates things and a little bit more hot air is added, sweetened with a little sugar, and it grows and it grows and it grows. And you can't always recognize it's there when it's got so big. So with the Pharisees, the deceitful teaching is that religious observance will be your salvation. That was what they were saying. Religious observance will be your salvation. And then with the Sadducees, and bear in mind that the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. But more than that, really, they trusted in their wealth. They were the aristocrats of their society. They had position and they had a great deal of political influence. They were deeply embroiled in politics in that society. So essentially, both trusted in exterior factors, and they overlooked what was inside, the state of their hearts. So why do I think this is the word for today? I hadn't forgotten. Well, what a fizz we have all been in about politics. And I'm not saying that it doesn't matter, because it clearly does. But it's kind of the motives that matter as well. And this week they have been talking about false news. I don't know if you've seen much coverage about that. Because we used to be able to rely on possibly the world's most reliable news source, the Beeb, which is still considered worldwide to be one of the most accurate sources of news. But now, with the advent of social media, it's possible to promulgate totally false news. Totally false news. Outright lies can be disseminated at incredible speed so that even the least gullible can believe them. I don't know if you've occasionally, when you're using, I don't know how many of you use social media, and if you do, you'll know what I'm saying, but I think it happens also with internet searches and things like that. If you're online, the little pop-up little bits of news, and it's quite easy to go, ooh, really? Ooh, I didn't know that. Did you know that if you open one of those, that's considered a hit? That, you know, the people who gather the statistics, they will notice that as having, that has been hit. Somebody has looked at that. And the number of hits they get will influence the funding that they get from their advertisers. So you may be thinking you're just having a little peep. So the Daily Mail says that, I don't know, all sorts of things. And actually what's happening is that as soon as you open that, ka-ching, the cash registers will start going. So I'm just telling you, okay? So that's false news. But then, of course, there's alternative facts that we've been hearing about. Yes, alternative facts. Donald Trump claimed that his inauguration ceremony had attracted more crowds than that of any other president. Okay? However, aerial photographs showed a very different story. But when challenged, his official spokeswoman stated, and I actually saw this, I don't know if any of you did, I nearly fell off the sofa. She said that they were simply presenting alternative facts. We're simply presenting alternative facts. And actually, I was on the train back from London yesterday with the Evening Standard, and lo and behold, the same lady popped up again. This time, she said, in order to support Donald Trump's ban on Muslims entering the country, that this, you know, this was supported by the fact that two Muslims had been involved in a massacre in America. Well, it's actually a massacre that didn't happen. It didn't happen. Alternative facts, apparently. What? I thought facts were facts. Forgive me, am I being stupid here? But I thought facts were facts. They can't. There's no such thing. And just after this encounter with Jesus on the other side of the shore with the lack of bread and him warning them, he asks his disciples, well, who do men say I am? And Peter said, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Now, either that's true, or Jesus was lying. There's no alternative. I mean, Jesus agreed. He just, yeah, you're right. I don't think there can be any alternative facts there, can there? So we can't present alternative facts. And yet that's exactly what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing. Now, to be fair to them, and I always say this, the Pharisees come in for a really hard time from us. They were God-fearing, God-loving people, devout, longing to please God. That's how their whole lives were focused. And this was news. This was new. It was not like hearing about the Messiah, reading the Gospels later and all of that. This was new to them, and this was quite a challenge for them. So let's not write them off entirely. But Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. Don't listen to that. That's not right. Come with me. And so we can't present alternative facts. And neither can we trust Jesus and yet think that our lives are saved by our wealth or political solutions. They will affect us, our day to day. But they're not the ultimate answer. You know, I've been quite overwhelmed at times by all this talk of Brexit and Trump and political causes and fundraising and awareness raising are very worthy and, you know, causes and issues that are important. And there is so much to be worried about. But there is much that is right and good. But it won't change our eternal destiny. Okay? So going back to the bread analogy, it's like the Pharisees and the Sadducees were at the proving stage. They were asking for signs, weren't they? That was the proving stage, and the kind of hot air was rising with them. They were blowing the truth up with some alternative facts, whilst the believers were feasting on the bread of heaven. So I think the word for today is that our eternal destiny will not be determined by the solutions offered by wealth or religious practice or politics, and neither will our everyday problems. So only a heart that trusts God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will receive the bread of heaven. And he says, taste and see. It's good. Blessed are those who are called to the feast.